The scripture reading this afternoon will be Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, that's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug into the ground and hid his money, his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth.
What keeps you up at night? Things you do or things you don't do? What do you worry more about? Things you do or things you don't do. I guess for me, the thing that bothers me most is things that I don't do. Those things bother me. People, how can I reach them? What should I have done? Things such as that, those things bother me more than what I do because I wonder sometimes what should I be doing. Or what could I have done different? Appreciate Zach for reading. I know that is a long text, and I thought of you, Dale, when I asked Zach to read that. I thought, I bet Dale proud tonight wasn't his night. He asked me one time if I wanted him to read the whole book. But I want us to think about this for just a few minutes. I want us to think about, please don't let things go, is what I entitled this short lesson. Please don't let things go. You know, we all know of things in our life that didn't work out exactly right. We all know of things that we started and we did not finish. We've got in the middle of things and we've just kind of brushed it aside. We did not think any more about it. We put it on the top shelf, if you will, and we forgot about it. You know, sometimes Wendy gets aggravated at me and I'll go through the house and in the wintertime especially, and we got 2 closets in this house that we live in now that's just crammed full of stuff. The 1 closet is all of Jay's stuff. You can go in there and you can open the door, and it's tall ceilings in this room, and it's probably 10 foot, 12 foot tall, I guess, in that room, and it's a big closet, and it's from the floor to the ceiling. Everything that he collected, everything that meant something to him. Then you go into the middle part of the house, and we've got a hallway in there, one big area there that's got a lot of his heads that he, when he would go hunting, he had them mounted. They're hanging there. Well, there's one other closet in the house that's packed full. It was supposed to have been my closet, but I lost. I've got a closet for all my clothes about, I'm not lying, am I, Wendy? It may be a little bit bigger than this area right here. But there is a top row and a bottom row, so really it's twice that. But the closet's supposed to be mine, it's just full. But I'll go in there some days, and I'll go to pulling out boxes. And I'll start digging through it, and I'll start by saying, this is all junk. Why don't we get rid of this? Well, I will sit down in the floor, and I'll start digging through them boxes. It's not long until it's consumed my day. I sit there, and I'll pull something out, and I say, oh, look at this. I remember, and here you go. And you go down this road, this journey that you go down, remembering why you put this in the box to start with. And then, you know, I end up putting it back in the box, and I put it back in the closet. Probably never look at it again, but it's just something I don't want to get rid of. We have to be careful, though, when we do things like that in our spiritual life, that we don't take our talents, we don't take what we should be doing and put it on a shelf somewhere or put it in a box somewhere and push it aside and let it go. You know, James said this in chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. If we know to do good and we don't do it, it becomes sin to us. Therefore, as I started the sermon tonight, or I started the lesson tonight, talking what keeps you up at night, things you do or things you don't do. To me, it's the things you don't do, because if you don't do it, it becomes sin. And I think it ties in real good with what Zach read for us tonight, because letting things go is very, very dangerous. For example, you go out, and I'm not a farmer. I don't even like a garden. We've had a few over the years. My daddy made me work in it when I was young, and when I got to be an adult, Wendy wanted to have a couple, and I just wasn't, not my thing. It's just not my thing. But I can tell you this. You can go out there with a tiller or a tractor, and you can cultivate that land. You can disc it. You can get it looking real pretty. Matter of fact, it can be so soft you can run across it barefooted. When you go across there, it don't hurt. It's just great. But if you leave that alone, there's going to be weeds and briars and thorns are going to come up. And it's the same way when we think about our life. If we neglect things, it will be filled up with things that shouldn't be there. What am I saying? I'm saying as Christians, we have to be careful what we put in our lives. We can start off when we become a Christian, when we are faithful to God, we can start off with the best intentions. And if we do not feel that and cultivate that and take care of that every day, it will not be long till sin is taken back over our life, because we're failing to do the things we need to do. The Old Testament. You go back and you look at the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not. You come to the New Testament, it says, thou shalt do these things. This is what we should do. The aim of many people today, you know, when someone passes away or someone's real sick, and people say they're certainly a good person. They were a good person. You know, the aim of many is to be good, but I think we have to carry it a step further. We have to do good. We can be a good person, but we have to do good in our life. In Acts 10 and verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Even Jesus went about doing good. I guess the challenge for us is this. What good are we doing? What talents are we using? I'm not going to ask you to do it tonight, but sometimes sit down and be honest with yourself. Write down five. What's your top five talents that you have that you could use for the Lord? Then think about how often you use them. What's the five greatest things you have? And how often are you using? Second thing I wanted to mention, it ties more into the text that we read tonight. But we don't want to let things go because it's dangerous, but we certainly don't want to let our soul go as well. If you look at the story that Zach read for us tonight, you know, if you want to be lost, then just do nothing. That's really what it's telling us here, is it not? If you want to be lost, then just do nothing. Because if you look at the very end in verse 29 and verse 30, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not, it shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye in the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It takes no effort to avoid things. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It takes no effort to avoid those in need. It takes no effort to ignore those that need teaching, the work that can be done. It takes no effort to avoid helping the church, but it takes effort to do it. Write down your five talents, and how are you using them? Acts 22 and verse 16, we'll close with. It says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Don't let things go. Tonight, as we're about to stand and sing an invitation song, are you willing tonight to arise from where you're sitting? Arise from where you're at in your life and say, yes, I am going to do more. I'm going to use my talents. I am going to work hard. I am going to help spread the gospel, encourage others. Or maybe tonight you need to say, I am going to arise as Paul and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, changing your life to start with. This morning we talked about belief. Every time we close a sermon or every time we come together for a devotion, we always talk about the plan of salvation and how simple it is. It really starts in your heart, and it's a change that you're willing to make, that you decide that, yes, I am going to surrender my life to the Lord. And because of what I believe and because of my faith, I am going to surrender that. And then we repent of our sins, we repent of our worldly ways, and we want to turn away from the world. We confess Jesus as Lord, and then we're baptized for the remission of our sins. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been unfaithful, and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Our prayer is that you will come while we sing.